Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Find yourself disgusted by the immorality on social media these days? Or are you so used to it that it doesn't even faze you anymore? I'll be talking about immorality on social media and its effect on us, on our souls, in this episode of Everyday Spirituality with Marge Steinhage Fenlon. That's me. I'm your host and delighted to have this time together again and discussing this very important topic. So here's how this all came about, the idea for this podcast. One of my morning routines is to browse my news feed. I particularly like the Feedly app. I like that very much because I can tell it what I want to, what news sites or blog sites that I want to be included, and I can block out, hopefully, anything that isn't good for me to see or that I'm not interested in for that matter. Well, I was browsing today, browsing my news feed, and suddenly I see this headline, and you know, we perceive an awful lot in a very small amount of time, don't we? So I'm not going to read the headline because it's nasty, but right on this headline was the F-bomb. Right in the headline. Can you believe it? Right there. And it was, of course, you know, they put the little star, the little asterisk. Well, you know what it means. You know what the word is supposed to be anyway. And immediately, you know, it's already imprinted on your mind. The second you see it, it's imprinted in your brain. You've seen it, you've taken it in, and you know exactly what they're getting at. And so it was too late. There it was already in me. And I was angry. I was very angry. And so, as you can imagine, that site is now off my list. Not interested, don't want to see it. I don't really care about that news source because I don't want to have that happen again. That's just not cool. Not cool at all. People do this for impact, you know, and I think more and more of our media is doing this for impact. And it's definitely creating an impact, but I think they're barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. That got me thinking a lot about what goes on online and in particularly social media. So, you know, take a headline like that. Take a headline like that. It was a derogatory, it was a stab at our president and his administration. And regardless of how you stand for, against, neutral, whatever, it doesn't matter. That kind of a headline is completely uncalled for. And it's dangerous. Morally, it's dangerous. It doesn't matter who it is. We shouldn't be putting up a headline like that about anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. Well, you know what that a post like that does, of course? Oh, for sure, it instigates people to comment, to, first of all, share it. Those who, you know, well, I don't know, I've seen people who don't agree with, you know, a standpoint and share it because they don't agree with it. But in any case, so it instigates people to want to share it on their social media accounts. And then of course, people are going to want to comment, aren't they? Because you always got to have a comment, don't you? I mean, everybody's doing it these days, right? Well, okay, so you've got people commenting and then, you know, gets into the social media brawl where people go back and forth and back and forth. Well, that's one aspect of immorality on social media. Then there's the other aspect, which is something I still can't quite figure out how to perfectly screen out on all my social media accounts and the news sites that I browse or the blogs that I browse, and that is, you know, immorality in terms of sexuality, in terms of, oh, you get the idea. I mean, I don't even have to list them all. And in, you know, in terms of, you know, these alternative lifestyles and anti-Catholic and anti-Christian and on and on and on and on and on. And then on top of that, so you've got these words flying around out there. And then on top of that are the photos. The photos. So I hope you have the same reaction that I do when there is a human being in a lewd posture or improperly dressed, and it's right there in front of you. It's right on your phone. It's right on your computer, and you've already looked at it. You've already seen it. Because it just pops up, and there you are. It goes right in your eyes, right into your head, right into your brain, right into your soul, and it's a done deal, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe not. There are things that we can do, first of all, to guard against this kind of immorality, and then to counter it. To counter it. So let's talk about, first of all, to try to block it. Now I want to go to scripture so that you understand how very important this is. Because people, I know people who see it like, oh, you know, as long as I don't believe it or as long as I don't dwell on it, it's no big deal. I don't pay any attention to that stuff. But you saw it, right? You saw it, your eyes took it in. Well, in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it talks about the eye, as in the human eye, E-Y-E. Now, here's what the passage says. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And that passage ends with an exclamation mark. So look it up, right? The version I'm using of the Bible is the New Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition. That's the version that most publishers use, and I like that one. I like that one a lot. In any case, I'm going to read it one more time. Because just think about this in terms of social media, okay? And social media headlines and statuses and tweets and all of that, the photos. Think of this. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? the title of that little passage is The Sound Eye. The Sound Eye. So do you have a sound eye? What do we mean by that? What are we talking about? What is Saint Matthew talking about there? It's guarding our eyes, in it's having discerning eyes, a sound eye that filters out, that immediately subconsciously blocks these things, these affronts to immorality and godliness. That's why it's so important. Okay, so how do we do this? What do we do? Well, first of all, the obvious, and I talked about this already, block the sight. I can't say it enough. Block the sight. You don't need it. If it's filling your head with garbage and immorality, you don't need it. You really don't need it. Even if it has the biggest news scoop in the world, if it's filling your brain and heart with immorality, you don't need it. Block it. Block it. Get rid of it. And then if you still encounter, like I did, you know, this morning, F-bomb in a headline. Oh my goodness, I'm still thinking about that. Okay, and that was accidental. It was a site I normally trusted. So no more. But so what do you do if it's too late? If it's too late, there are things you can do. So first of all, close your eyes immediately. Close your eyes immediately. Click that wonderful little X in the corner of your tab or even your browser if you have to. Click it off. Get it off. Get it out of your sight. If it's something that you're listening to, get it off. Turn it off. Get it out of there. Go to a different site. And then immediately fill your heart and eye and mind with something godly. You see, you're countering that image. Wipe it away. That's why it's so important to have sacramentals, holy images around us, in our homes, even in our offices, even if it's not allowed, find a way. I actually knew a person who any pictures, any religious pictures were forbidden in her office, even if it was at her desk, her personal desk. So put in a drawer, put in your wallet, something, have a holy image accessible to you that's quickly accessible. Immediately focus on that. Immediately. A crucifix, a picture of our Blessed Mother. I've got a picture of the Blessed Mother near me at all times. It's in my purse. It's in my backpack if I'm traveling. It's in my home office. It's all over my house, pictures of our Blessed Mother, and we have crucifixes all over. Focus on it immediately. Immediately. And here's what I recommend. Here's what I do. I immediately launch into an act of contrition. Now, I understand that accidentally viewing these things, that's not a sin. I understand that. But there's a twofold thing, and this is you know, more for myself, but it works for me, and I think it might work for you. The act of contrition is in the case, in the far out chance that little glance or that little sound bite, in the chance that it already started working on me to foster sinful thought at all, then the act of contrition is to make up for that. And I say the act of contrition on the part of the person who said it, wrote it, posted it, whatever it is. Because if they're not going to ask for it themselves, I'm going to ask for it for them. And then after that, I say a Hail Mary. Because she is so good. Our Blessed Mother, she is mighty against the devil. She's mighty. And so call on her immediately. And if you don't want to say Hail Mary, just say, Mother, help me. Mother Mary, help me. Look how quick that was. And she will. She will. She'll come. Now, I want to look a little more about this idea of a prayer, because this isn't new to me. This isn't just my idea. This comes from Fatima. So when the angel appeared to the children at Fatima, he instructed them to do a couple of things. He instructed them to pray in reparation for the sins of mankind. And then he also encouraged them. He called them to Eucharistic reparation. Do you know what that means? Eucharistic reparation is offering your communion as an act of reparation. So here's it, you know, it's much better said by the angel. Here are two prayers that the angel taught to the children. And the first is called the angel's prayer. It's become known as the angel's prayer, but really what it is, it's a prayer of reparation. So here's how it goes. You can find this online. Right now I'm looking at the website of the World Apostolate of Fatima. Some people call it the Blue Army. All right, so you can find this online in lots of different places. This happens to be the site I'm looking at right now. Here's how the prayer goes. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference with which he is offended, by the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. There you go. That would be the perfect prayer to say in an instant where you've been affronted with something immoral online. Certainly something to make it a practice to pray every single day, every day, every day, every day, because there's sin, unfortunately, every day, every day. And then it goes on, as he was giving them, so the angel gave them Holy Communion. Okay, so he gave them Holy Communion, and as he was giving them Holy Communion, then he said this, take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Make reparation for their crimes and console your God. Make reparation for their crimes and console your God. That's what you're doing. You offer that communion in reparation for the sins that have so terribly offended our Lord and his mother, because she's offended by whatever Jesus is offended. There are shorter prayers as well. So now I'm on another website called America Needs Fatima. And they have more of the prayers that the angel taught the children. And there are some very short ones. There's ones that you can memorize and say immediately every time you encounter some kind of immorality online, particularly social media. And here's a little one that I love. This one is very easy because it's very short. My God, I believe, I adore, I trust, and I love thee. I beg pardon for all those that do not believe, do not adore, do not trust, and do not love thee. That pretty much encapsulates all of the people who put this horrible stuff up online and on social media, don't you think? Don't you think? I mean, when I consider this and I realize, you know, it alarms me. It alarms me that people are becoming steeled toward this stuff. What I mean by that is that they see it, they read it, they listen to it, whatever, and it doesn't even affect them anymore. Oh, but it should. It should. Oh, for sure, Mary would be offended by a good portion of the stuff that we view on social media and online, unless we're super, super good at being able to screen it all out. She would be offended. And for that, we should be offended as well. Because why? Because she's our model. She's our model. She's the perfect disciple. She's the one we want to become like in our own discipleship. She would be offended. We should be offended. But we should not panic. That's the thing. We should not panic, because that's another aspect of this whole thing. You see, if you panic and get all shaken up about this stuff, what's going to happen is you're going to open another channel, perhaps. I don't know really. I guess I don't really have the right word. Another channel for the evil one to get at you. Because he loves to shake our trust. He loves to get us to panic. Because when we're panicked, we're not fully trusting in God. So don't panic. And try not to get irritated. Now, I got irritated this morning, which was a step too far. You know, I should have shut it down and said my prayers and gone on my way. I know that, you know, so it's a human reaction. And even more so when you can't resist. And I know there are a lot of people like this. They can't resist commenting on something, especially something that is offensive or that they disagree with. They got to comment. But, you know, I think there's a degree of Christian correction that's needed, but only if the person is open for it. You see, so if we just go at the person, we're just turning them further away from Christ, because they're just going to dig in, get more set in their ways. And I've had that once or twice where I thought I was very gently helping the person to perhaps see the truth, and it backfired completely, and all they did was dug their heels in that much more. So we don't want to do that. But we do want to always keep this in mind, that the I, that idea of the I as the lamp of the body. You know, have you ever looked at somebody, and I don't know if you've ever had this impression. I have for sure. You look at somebody and there's something just not quite right about their eyes. And I don't mean physically, like an illness or, you know, not good vision or some such. What I mean is I always call them dead eyes. And maybe that's not fair, but there are certain people that you can tell their eyes, they just don't. They just don't shine with the light of Christ. They just don't shine with the light of Christ. And you get this. I have my intuition is, and perception of people is actually more acute than I'd like it to be, quite frankly. but I pick up on things very quickly. And there are certain people, when I look at into their eyes, they have these. You know, like I said, I call them dead eyes. They're dull. They're not alive with Christ. And you can tell it, because the eye is the lamp of the body. So if there isn't light, if the light of Christ is not within that person, it's not going to show in their eyes. It's not going to show in their eyes. And these are the people that you need to be very careful of. I don't mean don't try to help them. I don't mean, you know, don't be Christian. Don't, you know, exercise Christian charity toward them. But what I mean is don't be caught up in that. Don't be caught up in that. Keep your guard up, because these are eyes. These are unhealthy eyes. That's a better way to put it. Maybe not dead eyes. These are the unhealthy eyes that are showing that there's darkness inside. So when we're on social media and we see immorality, obviously we're not looking into people's eyes, but I think for some of these sites, some of these outlets, there could be some very unhealthy eyes behind them. And we want to be careful of that. We don't want our eyes to become unhealthy. We want to keep our guard up at all times. And more than that, we need to also keep our guard up in terms of our hearts. So it can get, like I opened with, you know, we could just become all in, you know, out and out disgusted. I'm sick of this. I'm disgusted by everything. But that's not fair to the many, many people who are out there trying to do good on social media. So this, the immorality that's out there, let it be out there. Let it go somewhere else. Let it not affect you. Let it not disturb you. Just make a detour. Go around it. Go around it. And again, you know, if you get caught up in it accidentally, there's the prayer of reparation from the angel at Fatima. I highly, highly encourage you. I say this often in my podcast, I know, but to receive the sacraments as often as possible. Go to Mass as often as you can. Go to confession. Go to the sacrament of reconciliation as often as you can, because this will help you to keep your eyes healthy. It will help you to keep pure. You know, I can imagine that, you know, it's, I wish for just one hour I could bring the Blessed Mother here to converse with me and have her sit at a computer and look with me and point out, you know, good things, good sites, good, you know, so on and so forth. But okay, in her day, you know, of course, we didn't have bad social media or immoral social media problems, but I'm sure there were off-color remarks. I'm sure, especially with the Roman occupation at that time, I'm sure there were nasty remarks, derogatory remarks. You know, dirty jokes are probably as old as time itself. And I'm sure that some of these would have come across. She would have heard or observed some of this going on. But what I can imagine, and, you know, just think of that for in your own meditation, I can imagine that she would not panic. She would immediately make an act of reparation. If you read the mystics who write about Mary's life, the life of the Blessed Mother, they will say she did a lot of penance. Working hard, sleeping little, eating little. She did a lot of penance, a lot. So I can imagine, knowing that when she came across, now if she lived in this day and age, when she came across immorality for us, social media, and online for her, you know, about town, going to the well, perhaps, who knows? I can imagine she immediately would turn herself to God, ask His protection, and then immediately make an act of reparation, or maybe lots of acts of reparation for the perpetrator of whatever it was, the comment, the behavior, you know, whatever it was. And we're called to do this as well. You know, she came so many times. Fatima's just one example. She appeared so many times, and nearly every single time, she instructed us to pray for the conversion of sinners. So if we've got immorality running rampant through our social media and elsewhere online, we bear part of that responsibility, because we need to pray harder. We need to make more acts of reparation. We need to sacrifice more so that the tide gets turned. We have to turn the tide. Getting upset about it isn't going to help. What we have to do is roll up our sleeves and turn the tide with our prayers, with our vigilance for ourselves and then those who are entrusted to our care, and those acts of reparation and reception of the sacraments. This is a must. This isn't just a nice idea, because it's going to keep getting worse unless we get in there and bring forth the opposite spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. I hope that you spread this message, that you share this podcast with others, because this is an issue that doesn't affect just you or me. It affects millions of people. So let's tell them. Let's get the world turning in the right direction. So thanks so much. Again, I'm Marge Steinhank-Fenelon. You can find me online at margefenelon.com. That's margefenelon.com. And there you have my contact information, and all of my social media stuff is on there. And I promise if you follow me on social media, it will all be good stuff. I promise. So God bless you, and our Mother Mary protect you. Until next time.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bach with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at CaneFord.com.